All right, well, should we make a poop cast?
Let's do it.
I know forever.
Welcome to Opinions That No One Asked For, or Otnof. I forgot what my name was. It's been a while since we did the podcast. I forgot who I am. I am, I think, McKay.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is a show where two guys sit in my living room and give their opinions about basically anything.
From what?
From, let's see,
what you got?
Charlie
what you
bit
got?
My finger to cherry vanilla Diet Coke.
Okay. I hear that's amazing.
Spoiler? Good. I'm drinking it right now. It's here right next to me. Got it at McDonald's a couple hours ago. To, yeah, basically whatever. Mostly ends up being like movies and music and stuff. We don't talk about Coke that often. But maybe we should. Yeah. It has been a while. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus. A sabbatical, as Jordan put it.
Yes. To, I like that word.
Yeah, refresh. It was also like the end
word.
Of... That was good, yeah. Sabbatical. Four syllables? That's great. Wow. Write that down. good. Yeah, it was finals week after a long year of school. I got a puppy. So.
Woo!
Yeah. Little guy's right behind me. So if you hear any noises, it's him sliding into the wall as he chases after his ball. So.
Or me.
Or Jordan sliding into the wall as he chases his own personal ball that I got him. Yeah, so life's been kind of busy. So we took a little bit of a break, get refreshed, bring some fresh ideas to the show. But I don't know what's happened for you in the last month since we produced an episode of an iPod broadcast, to say it in long form.
I got COVID.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot. Ooh, yeah. It that's sucks. So fun.
Yeah. I finally got to a point where I was like, COVID isn't a thing anymore.
It's kind of a lot of people have been filling in. Yeah.
And then I got it and I was not happy. And, Yeah, it sucked.
It's almost cruel when you get COVID and, like, everyone around you is getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
I read something from someone this morning that got the first dose and then got COVID after having gotten COVID a year ago.
Yeah, people are getting it.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh, man, that's just rough. That some people get no breaks.
Yeah, it's wild. And so, yeah, I got it. Just, like, one day just hit me really hard. And then I got tested. And then... the county health person called me and was like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wait, why are you calling me?
Yeah,
she's
this
like,
is weird.
Don't you know? You tested positive.
Haven't you heard? It's all over the internet.
Like, no, I haven't heard the news.
Haven't you visited the chat rooms? Everyone's gushing about it. Yeah,
that's
sucks.
How I found out. I was like, oh, it was kind of like the world was spinning.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap.
That's Raven style. Yeah.
But, yeah, we pulled through.
Couple weeks of quarantine, right?
Yeah. I was so bored.
How are you feeling? Last time we talked a few days ago, you were still pretty tired.
Yeah. That's probably been, like, the weirdest thing was, like, I got done. I was like, sweet. I can go outside.
Yeah.
But, like, at that point, finals was over and everyone had left for, like, vacations. And then I was, like, tired all the time. And, like, usually I generally have lots of energy
right, yeah,
to, like,
you're
do
pretty
stuff.
High energy guy.
And so it was, like, weird. And I was like, shoot, am I depressed? Was like,
yeah, that's a hard thing.
I was like, I gotta finally do
stuff,
and now I just like just want to sleep. And so I called my aunt, shout out Danielle, because she had it, and I was just like, were you like tired?
Are you depressed now?
Are you depressed? And she's like, don't worry, you're not depressed. You're just like recovering. You're tired. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. But since I've been getting more and more energy.
Good.
And it's been good.
Yeah.
So,
are you still planning on getting vaccinated? Have you gotten vaccinated?
I don't know. I'm not sure what to do.
Because I know a couple people that did get COVID and still got vaccinated,
yeah.
But it wasn't as recent as yours, so I don't know what the timeline is best for that.
I might get tested to see if I have the antibodies first.
Point. Yeah.
So, anyways, I need to look into it. But yeah, like, the whole vaccine thing, it's like, I'm not opposed to it. I just kind of, like... want to explore, you know, I have the antibodies.
Yeah, I don't know how
do
the timeline
I need
works.
The vaccine?
Is it, yeah,
then,
or is it better to wait a little bit
like,
so that it's more
I
effective?
Wait till like the vaccine stuff. I feel like there's still like, I know it's like pretty good, but I just still feel like there's like, 99.86%
effective actually. So it's pretty good.
okay.
But no, but yeah, but like for me, it's like I don't. I mean, I am 100% pro vaccine, but like I also don't know what it's like, what it means when you get the thing you're getting vaccinated against, like right around the same time you would get the vaccine.
Yeah,
it's like, is it better to wait a couple months? Is it? So I don't know. That would be worth exploring.
So yeah, like I'm not opposed to it. I just need to like. Do some research.
Yeah, because you are technically inoculated against it right now, but then you also hear about people that have had it and then get it again, so the vaccine is still a good thing to get.
I'm not trying to get it again.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Well, and I guess the one thing to know is, like, the vaccine doesn't protect against getting COVID. It protects against getting it severely.
Oh, interesting.
So it doesn't stop transmission necessarily, but it stops hospitalizations and deaths. Mm. So the hospitalizations and deaths... it's prevented 99.86% of the time, but like you can still get it with the vaccine. So something to know.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I feel like new information comes every day.
Okay.
Like new information, people like talk and there's so much like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like this thing that's kind of like overwhelming a little bit.
Yeah. I guess I would encourage anyone listening and you maybe to go to like primary sources, because like I've known that it doesn't protect against transmission for like 6 months now, because that's what they published when they first released the vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, but like no, whenever I tell someone that, it's like brand, it's like news to them. But that's because everyone's just kind of listening to like their preferred news outlet, which isn't the worst thing in the world. But like especially for a vaccine that there's kind of a lot of debate about, like go to the source, read up. You know, go to like reliable sources, doctors, scientists, whatever. So.
Yeah, COVID still exists, guys, so...
Yeah.
Be careful.
Provax for life.
Try to live your life, I guess, too. That's something... I gained an appreciation for life, because I did nothing. Because
you spent 2 weeks sitting in your room.
It's like, dang.
Yeah.
We really should try to live.
I know, just think about the people that have done that for a year now, you know? Like, you and I are relatively healthy, so we've been able to kind of go out and eat and still see people in a relatively safe way, but...
Yeah.
It's been really tough on some people.
Be safe. Be smart.
As far as opinions I don't ask for, COVID, big thumbs down.
You suck.
COVID. Big downer. Big poopy diaper is what I call a COVID.
What sucks too is like some people have had it and like I didn't even feel anything.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, blah.
Well, then, yeah, then some people are so like hospitalized for a year. You know, it's like, it's a hard thing too. And this is kind of a reflection on all of life, is that like someone will get COVID and have a really good time of it, and like that's great. I'm really happy that, not like a good time, but
it's
like
a good time.
That's not what I meant. Like it goes relatively well for them, right? Like they're maybe they feel a little nauseous or they feel sick for a couple of days and then they get over it, and that's great. I don't want anyone. I wouldn't wish bad symptoms on anybody. But then they say, "Oh, it's not that bad for me." Like everyone else is just blowing out of proportion. Mm. When like some people really do get hit hard by this, like perfectly healthy people have passed away. You know, it's like, and that's kind of a just a lesson for like all of life is like, and this kind of we talked about with Adri about this in our episode with her, is like you can't take your experiences and then make assumptions about someone else's and then use it to invalidate them. So for it's like, so I don't know, just like we're all going through it to some extent, so we just got to be empathetic and kind. And my puppy is chewing on my guitar. Hey, don't do that. Oh, your ball's stuck. All right, podcast break.
Tell us about the puppy. What breed?
Well, so Michelle, my wife, and I have neither of us have ever had a dog. Oh, he's got the squeaker toy. It'll be good ambiance for our puppy chat.
Will it?
I don't know. So I'm out of breath because I had to climb over a little fence.
You jumped over it.
Yeah.
Leap.
I'm so inflexible that it's easier for me to 2 foot hop a 3 foot fence than to just step over it. So that's something about me. But yeah, my wife and I, neither of us have ever had a dog. And we just like, the kind of the events of last year and everything, we're like, hey, let's do it. I think this would be really beneficial for both of us. I'm really out of breath. Oh my gosh.
You can take a little break if you need to.
That's right. Well, yeah.
Do you have Coke?
drink a Diet Coke doesn't help. But yeah, he's great. He's a cockapoo. We got him at like 10 weeks old. So he's like so cute.
I thought I could remember. I was like, that's like the one breed I could totally remember.
Yeah, you didn't remember.
It's a funny name. And
that's all right.
I forgot.
It's all right. Well, and I feel like especially, like, I don't know, you haven't had a dog.
No.
Previous to a month ago, I never had a dog. And so dog breeds were just so irrelevant to me.
Yeah. So I don't
like,
care.
I knew, like, Golden Retrievers because that's the dog they had in Full House, and that's the dog I wanted as a kid. Excuse me.
Excuse me, dog.
Stop squeaking your toy.
Shut up.
Just kidding. I love you.
I love you so much.
But yeah, getting a crossbreed with a poodle is nice because poodles are like the most hypoallergenic dog. Mm. Like the really curly hair means they don't shed.
Yeah.
And so like that's why we got a cockapoo is because we didn't want a poodle, but he's not going to shed. And he's adorable. So I love him. His name is Ozai. Fire Lord Ozai.
Yeah, how did the name come
about? Ruler of the Fire Nation. Well, we were like spitballing names for a couple days when we got him, and I started making jokes about naming him after like dictators. I was like, let's name him Stalin or Adolf, which is like so dumb and insensitive. But then we transitioned to fictional dictators, which is a little bit less insensitive. And we landed on Fire Lord Ozai from Avatar Lost Airbender.
Swag.
Yeah. We were like joking about it at first, but then it kind of stuck. We're like, oh, it kind of fits.
I like it.
Yeah.
He's just kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, like, he's so cute. Well, he's still so little. He's only like
14 He's discovering weeks. The world, discovering his body.
Yeah.
Right now, he's trying to figure out his arm.
I don't know what he's doing, actually. It's like he's trying to bite his tail, but he forgot where his tail is what it looks like. He's just kind of...
It all just kind of like blends in.
It's true. He is black and very cute. But yeah, he's the best. It's like... I mean, I try to, because people like to say, like, oh, he's your baby. Like, or when they talk to our puppy, they're like, oh, who's your dad or whatever? Like, go to your mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We kind of try to avoid that because, like.
Should I applaud you for it?
Well, we're going to have a kid at some point, preferably a handful of them, you know? And so we kind of wanted to not, like, act like this is our child, but, like, he's still part of the family, but we don't have to call him, like, my son or anything. Michelle didn't give birth to this puppy, but like we still love him. But there are a lot of parallels I've seen. I mean, I haven't raised a child, but like I feel like we're learning a lot of like pre-parenting lessons, you know?
Good prep.
Well, because like we need to be paying attention to him at all times.
Yeah.
Like even now we're recording in the same room as him because I'm worried if we go in the other room, he's going to start eating something that will kill him or like will start eating his own poop, which happens on a regular basis if we leave him unattended. But like... I don't know, just things like that. Or, like, the other day we put him in his crate and, like, went out to eat for an hour and then came back. And we're like, wow, this must be what it feels like when you're a parent. You, like, bring in the babysitter and you have, like, an hour and a half of, like, oh, I don't have to always, like, have one eye, like, watching my toddler. I don't know.
For sure. I think it's good that you guys have that because, like, some people act like the dog is a child.
Yeah,
and it gets like, a little over the top. Kind of creeps me out.
Yeah.
A little bit, not going to lie. I mean, if you do, it's, like, chill, but
and like I kind of like, understand too because like
don't you want
like we really love the dog, you know, we really love him and like he means a lot to us, so I kind of understand the reasoning there, but like some people do push it a little far. The stroller, that's kind of weird to me. Like dogs inherently love walking. Why like I see people walking their dogs in strollers. It's kind of an LA thing though, kind of a
Okay, of course you associate it with California.
That's where the only place I've seen it is in California, okay? In New York, people drag their dogs with no legs on the sidewalk. Just kidding. They only have stray dogs.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. So, yeah, I applaud you guys. Yeah, it's just kind of creepy sometimes how people
treat their dogs. It does get a little weird.
I always, like, I joke about this with one of my friends. Just, like, dogs will overrun the world.
People overrule. Stop having kids and then it'll be just
dogs. Yeah, it's like, oh, we don't want kids anymore. We just want dogs. And then dogs will evolve, really smart.
I do kind of get it, though. Yeah, and then they'll take over the world. I do kind of get it, though, because, like, it's like having a child, but, like, they plateau at, like, 4 years old. Like, at some point, he'll be old enough to know not to eat garbage all the time, and he'll stop trying to eat his own poop, and he'll be able to go to the bathroom we want him to, but he'll never, like, need college tuition. Or, like, I'll never have to, like, you know what I mean? Like, you never have to deal
when you're just, like, emotional and just, like, he's always happy to see you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to, like, worry about teaching him.
Yeah, he'll never become, like, a rebellious teenager. I guess he kind of starts as a rebellious teenager because the whole eating the poop thing aforementioned.
In defiance.
Yeah, it's out of. But, like, yeah, it's. I do understand it because you kind of don't have a lot of the emotional turmoil that comes from being a parent. But we're still going to be parents at some point. We'll get there.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm soaked for that.
And Ozai will be around for a long time, as I say, as he tries to lick his own butt. Cute little guy.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That, like, grosses me out. Like, when dogs, like...
Literally what he's doing right now.
I know dogs are, like, licking their private parts.
Yeah.
And then they come and lick me. I think it's disgusting.
Yeah. Or the dog owners that just, like, full-on, like, open-mouth kiss their dogs. We introduced... I will not name them for their own sake, but we introduced our puppy to a close associate. Like, the second day we had him, and she full-on, like, open-mouth, like, let him lick her mouth, like, inside. Gross. I was like... She's like, I'm making out with your dog. And I was like, that's actually revolting. Like, we don't even let him lick our face at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And I feel like because we've set that boundary, he's pretty good at not doing it. He still chomps my beard sometimes. But yeah, he's the best. He's taken up most of my Otnof hiatus time. But yeah.
Has he helped emotionally?
Yeah, mentally, he's great. All that? Whenever he's, like, falling asleep in the evening, if I sit on the floor, he'll just come fall asleep in my lap. I'll sit there. Can you hear the face I'm making? Oh, so cute. He'll just put his little head on my lap and just fall asleep, and then we'll just sit there, and then I'll toss him back in the cage. Just kidding.
What is that face called? It's like a smolder, but it's also like kind of sad.
I don't know if it's a smolder. Is there?
Cause like the eyebrows.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like I feel like I'm about to cry, but like out of adorableness and not like sadness. Yeah, that's the face. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, he's great. He can be kind of stressful, but like. And my wife, she kind of felt guilty for, and she still does a little bit sometimes, like, when we're really mad at him. Because, like, he bites her a lot more than he bites me, and, like, that can be really frustrating, especially when you're, like, trying to train him, and he's just, like, he's very bitey right now because he's growing in his adult teeth. Mm. Turns out dogs lose their baby teeth and grow in adult teeth. Did you know that?
They lose their baby teeth?
Like, they fall out. Yeah, same as humans. Yeah, who knew, right? I always thought it was just us, and I always felt so shit. Kind of, like,
blows my mind for some reason.
Yeah. But, yeah, she, like, sometimes we'll get mad because, like... I don't know, like, sometimes they just, like, push your buttons, and it's easy to, like, blame them for things that they're not really, like, accountable for.
Hmm.
Like a puppy or, like, a baby. Same thing, you know? I don't know, it's similar. Like, a baby. Same thing. A baby will, like no, poop all over the carpet when you're having a bad day already and make it worse, and it's easy. And, like, she felt guilty because she's like, oh, like, we decided to get him, and, like, he's an ESA, and so it's like, oh, like, should we have him? Or, like, maybe he's not really helping. Like, she felt kind of guilty about it, and I kind of had to talk to her the other day, like, it's kind of similar to a baby where it's, like, just because you might have a day with a child where you're, like, really mad or, like, frustrated or having a really hard day doesn't mean you would rather not have the child, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, maybe that's a circumstance for some people, but I was, like, even on, like, the worst day, I'm still happy we have him. It just,
you can't expect yourself to be at your best all the time.
Well, and, too. Like, as an ESA, kind of what you have in some mental image, emotional support animal.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Gotcha. You probably did know what that was, you just didn't know the acronym. But yeah, he's an ESA. And so, like, kind of the mental image people have of an ESA is, like they have those dogs they have in hospitals that they just take around and, like, cuddle with, like, cancer patients.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what people picture. Like, he's just going to comfort us all the time.
Mm.
But, like, I've kind of come to realize harshly that that's not the case. He's an ESA because, like, it's emotionally helpful to be caring for someone who's 100% dependent on you. Mm. Like, so innocently and, like, totally. Like, he has no, like... malintent or like deception in him. Like, he's just so innocent and, like, he loves us and is so dependent on us. And so even on the bad days, like, it's still fulfilling to, like, be caring for something like that. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And then there are times when he is really comforting and willing to come and just, like, cuddle and whatever. So that's the lesson I've learned. Amen.
All right. That's a wrap. All
right. End the podcast.
God bless us.
God all bless us, everyone.
Thanks, Tiny Tim.
That's. What? That's the new Southern character introduced to Charles Dickens' timeless Christmas classic.
As narrated by McKay Mendon.
Wait, Stanley Tim? I had no idea where that came from.
I got that range.
So, in case you haven't noticed, we're talking about Dune today. When we were planning on making this podcast, this was actually one of the movies that, like, was one of the first things we're like, oh, we should talk about this. I don't know if you remember back in last November.
Yeah, because you were, like, on the hype.
I had just read the book, yeah. Well, I read it last fall. You're crazy about because, it. Yeah, because I was excited for the Dune movie that was supposed to come out last year, featuring Timothy Chalamet, Ding Dong, and Aquaman.
Shout out. And Zendaya.
And Zendaya, yeah.
Zendaya, if you're listening, she's the one who gets actually do love you.
She's great, yeah. But yeah, and so I read the book, and so the book's amazing, and I was super hyped, and so we're like, oh, we're making this podcast, we should talk about Dune 1984, like the OG movie, and then we never watched it. But...
we did.
Never is an incorrect word. We watched it this week.
Someone once said, never say never.
Yeah, who was it, Gandhi? No, Justin Bieber.
Never say never. Never say never.
A little bit bigger than me. So, taller than me.
Smaller than me. That's not the word. Smaller than me.
But he don't got a JP song with me.
That's good. I was trying to remember the rap first. I did not
remember. It's like all I can remember from that whole song. I don't even know the chorus. It's, oh, wait. I will never. Okay. I will
fight till forever. It's like a hard R. Dang. Man, thinking of that song, Jaden's performance compared to like modern day Jaden is wild.
It is. Anyways.
But anyways, speaking of Jaden Smith, so yeah, we finally watched Dune 1984. So I have read the first 2.5 books of Dune. There are, I want to say, 10 Dune books.
There's 12?
So there's 6 written by Frank Herbert, who's the guy who wrote it originally, and then his son, Brian. Whoa. Brian went on to write, I think, yeah, 5 or 6 more. Brian. It's probably Brian. Statistically, it's probably a Brian. But yeah, it is Brian. And so I feel like I have a pretty good handle on, like, the Duneverse, you know? That's good.
That was good, but it was also, like, super nerdy.
No one's ever said that before. Putting iverse at the end of a property that has more than one thing in it. But you hadn't done any of the reading.
I was lost.
But I'd kind of filled you in on, like, the premise a little bit before we got into it. And so you were kind of excited
for it. There's a spice that's basically a drug, and people are trying to...
People do want to
control the spice.
Yeah.
And it turns their eyes blue.
Yeah, with bad CGI in the case of David Lynch. So yeah, what, as someone who was pretty unfamiliar with Dune, what was your impression of the movie?
Honestly,
I'll tell you how I felt.
Honestly, like, it's old. And so, like, it's an 80s movie, which, like, it's fun. Like, it's fun, like, watching old stuff and being like, haha, like, this is really bad CGI.
Yeah, that,
like,
shield animation. Yeah. Oh my gosh, freaking Lego fight.
I loved it. I also, I don't know, like, the whole time, I was like, this is probably the nerdiest thing I've ever watched.
Really? Like, nerdiest? Like, this is the nerdiest thing?
Probably.
Okay.
Or Tron, like, 80s Tron. That was also,
I would say this is nerdier than 80s Tron.
Yeah.
Because 80s Tron still has Kurt Russell, hunky,
that's cool,
piece of meat, man.
The light bikes, is that what they were called?
Yeah.
Those
the super
sick.
Generic, like, sets, just, like, random shapes in the background. Oh, my gosh. That was great. Anyway,
yeah, so, like, the whole time I was like, man, this is, like, pretty nerdy. But it's also a cool premise, and, like, I can appreciate, like, the world and the complexity of it. But, like, it wasn't a very fulfilling film.
Yeah.
It ended, like, very abruptly. Also, Sting is in this movie, which was, like, way cool, but also, like, so random.
It was before Sting had showed up, and you were like, oh my gosh, I think David Bowie's in here, just, like, joking around, and I was like, no way, look. And then we turn around, and Sting shows up. We're like, this is not even a joke.
It's like, David Bowie's is, like, randomly in stuff, and so I was, like, joking, like, ha, David Bowie's totally gonna be in this, and then it was Sting, and I was like,
Sting.
Whoa.
First the B-movie, now this. I guess for B-movie, it was not first, but.
Sting's the man. I love The Police.
He's honestly probably one of the highlights of the movie. Like,
that's true.
I think his performance is better than a lot of the other people in the movie.
Agreed. Yeah. Also, like, what was cool for me about the movie was, like, it's directed by David Lynch, who did Twin Peaks. And then
there's a lot of casting crossover,
there's
too, right?
There's two people that I could, like, make out. Was, like, Dale Cooper, who was the main lead. His name, Kyle McLaughlin. How do you say his last name?
McLaughlin.
I hate that last name. But so it was, like, fun to see, like, Twin Peaks stuff.
You're a big Twin Peaks fan.
Yeah.
Which I recently watched the pilot of.
You didn't tell me.
We haven't gotten back into it. We've been meaning to keep watching, but.
Okay, that's, like, big news.
I'll have to watch more, and then we can do more at Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Stop. Don't. Well, I haven't seen. We're going to watch the third season soon.
That's the one that's like 17 years later, right?
25.
Okay. That's the one that came out like 2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
it's all the same cast, isn't it? Or a lot of them, at least?
Yeah.
A lot of the main leads are the same. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Currently, my recommendation is to stop once you figure out who the killer is, but I'll let you know season 3. If
that's true. I don't know that I've heard strong opinions either way about season 3, so I wonder how good it is.
Yeah. Anyways.
Just let me know. Anyways. But yeah, so that got you overall, all excited about it.
Yeah, so it was like fun to see that. There's like cool sci-fi old stuff.
Right.
But like generally I was kind of like, eh, about the movie.
Yeah, I feel that.
Very medium, as you would say.
So for me, I like sci-fi books, but I mostly like a little bit older sci-fi books.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like maybe this is the same reason I don't love like contemporary fantasy books, is that like sometimes the genre has just grown so much that like there's just, I don't know, maybe it's just intimidating to me. I don't know. I also just don't read a ton of fantasy and sci-fi, but I enjoy them, if that makes sense.
Cool.
I like them, but I just don't read them a ton. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I love like, I don't know, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep and like Philip K. Dick and I love like The Forever War and a lot of these like 80s and 90s like classic sci-fi books. And so when I read Dune, it was awesome because I don't know, there's something that is great about Dune the book is how amazing Frank Herbert is at building a world but making like every piece of it interesting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cuz technically Dune happens in like our current world, like Earth exists in Dune.
Oh.
But it's like 20,000 years in the future or something.
Interesting.
And so like at some point in the timeline there was this thing called the Butlerian Jihad where the I'm getting into deep sci-fi for you, but like I'm kind of giving the premise of
Dune. I'm gonna hold back my like judgments and stuff.
Well, yeah, so this is kind of the premise of Dune that they don't give you in the movie, is that all of the like AI turned on mankind and there was a war between like artificial intelligence and man. Mm-hmm. And so then when mankind won, they swore never to make like electronics like that again.
Mm-hmm.
So Dune is like 10,000 years later where they like won't make like technology like that anymore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why it's interesting, because really cool, it's like sci-fi but like without all of the like holograms and like super things. It's like it's a lot more primitive, which makes it interesting.
That's kind of like my thing with Star Wars, like it's in the past. I'm like, why are they so advanced?
Yeah, but it makes it cool because then it doesn't put this burden on like the filmmakers or the writer to come up with this super complicated technology.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of sci-fi has to do now, because you need to come up with something that's somehow even more advanced than what's reality, which is already crazy advanced.
Totally.
So I don't know, it's interesting. And like they're like, it's set on this planet, it's kind of like this tribal feud between two families that are trying to take control of this planet. And here's my main beef with the movie, is there's
straight to the beef.
I'm gonna give you my beef, is that there's kind of this narrative like taboo, which is show don't tell, in filmmaking.
Okay.
And in kind of anything, even in book writing, it's better for you to show something than to just say it. Star Wars, I haven't seen a ton of 80s movies, so I'm not like, but like my main frame of reference is like Star Wars movies, which is like late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And they kind of do the tell instead of show by doing like the script at the beginning of every movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And then after that in the movie, they often have these conversations in the movie that are really complicated, like intergalactic politics.
Mm-hmm.
That most of the time I just ignore, and it's fine. Like the movie is still fun.
Yeah.
Completely ignoring like all this complicated jargon, especially in the prequel movies.
That's
actually
something that like happened like with Star Wars. Like I finally got it. I was like, oh, I get why people are like way into this, because it's like all these like political
right.
aspect to the film. So I was like,
yeah,
this is sick.
But it's like fun because you can ignore it and still enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the prequel movies do a worse job of that, but in the main three and even in the newer three movies, like you can get in deeper with like the different competing political machinations.
Yeah.
Or you can just watch the narrative of Luke, Anakin, Rey, whatever, you know.
Totally.
That, and that's interesting. But the problem with Dune is that I think David Lynch, the director slash writer slash producer slash has a cameo in the movie.
He does.
He's like a construction worker guy.
He's always got a cameo.
Yeah, which I expected him to look way differently than he did when you pointed him out. But like what I think is that he seemed so worried about, because the Dune book, like the world is so expansive. There's so much detail. And in a book, you can write about all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can just lay it out. And a good writer is good at laying it out without making it feel like a textbook, which I think Frank Herbert's good at, the writer. But I feel like David Lynch didn't know how to, like, show those things. So he literally would just, like, say the things. Like, he starts off with, it's a thing in the book, but he has Princess Irulan, kind of a pretty, like, small character in the book. But, like, she basically just, like, explains the whole premise of the book, giving away some spoilers that don't show up till, like, halfway through the book, in the first 30 seconds of the movie, laying out, like, the conflict for the spice. So they bring out this really bad CGI diagram of which planets are important. Like, this one, and this one. You should remember these planets. Yeah. And they're doing this one's angry at this one, this one. It was like having, like, a bad junior high basketball coach diagram out the movie before you watch it. And then you get into the movie, and it's like, I think you had a similar thought that I did, whereas it feels like it ends abruptly. Mm-hmm. It feels like the first half of the movie, they were super committed to the book. Like, they brought out elements of the book that I would have never thought to put in a movie because they're really complicated and kind of detailed. Yeah. And a lot of them are connected to kind of other parts of the universe that don't come out even until the next book. And for some reason, he decided to keep them. And I was like, okay, that's cool. He's being pretty faithful to the book. And then the second half, it's almost like they ran out of budget or they ran out of movie time. And they're like, frick, we need a resolution. And so they just, like, screw it to the book. Let's, like, make up.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and we can get into that part in a minute, but it's just like they just like made up all these weird plot devices that didn't make any sense and weren't nearly as good, and then they just wrapped it up and it's over, and I was just sitting there like, that was so dumb.
Yeah, there's like a little fight scene between Cooper and Sting, and then
between Paul and Fade Rautha,
and then he's like, I am a god, and then it ends.
He tears his chest. Well, yeah, so like,
I was like, okay.
Well, and that's kind of like Frank Herbert talking about Dune, he kind of said that the premise for him was he wanted to write like a Messiah narrative where the Messiah is like human and like he has his faults and like he has his own, I don't know, like problems and issues and like struggles fulfilling that prophecy. And so the whole premise of the book is that like there's this planet where there's this huge millions of people strong tribe that have had this prophecy for generations that this boy would come and save them, which is, the book is very clear, this is a made up prophecy. This was given to them by people who politically wanted to take control of them. The Reverend Mothers, if you remember them, the old bald ladies. They like made that up so that someday they could come and take control of that planet. Cause they like,
oh, okay.
And that's kind of their thing, is that they like make up religions to kind of have political power over different planets. It's very cool. That's interesting.
Actually sick. Yeah. That's a cool idea.
And so, like, the whole premise of the book is that Paul, this kid, Timothy Shamalama Ding Dong / Del Cooper from Twin Peaks.
Chalamet.
Yeah, whatever. He shows up to this planet, and he's the fulfillment of their prophecy. And he's meant to, like, take control of them and lead them to victory over the people that have taken control of their planet.
And write some worms.
And he writes some worms, though. Yeah, and so it's, like, so interesting. Like, that's, like, a super interesting premise to me, you know?
Yeah.
But then, for some reason, David Lynch is like, okay, I'm going to take that premise and then just actually make him a god. Like, he destroys all the nuance and intrigue and, like complicated mental machinations of the book and just says, like, we'll just actually give him god powers. And, like, at the end of the movie, he says, I am God of Dune, whatever. And he tears the guy's chest open and he makes it rain and he, like, controls. And it's just, like, it's dumb. I don't know. I felt so gypped about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I feel like, for me, something that I realized, I've been watching lots of movies and TV shows as of late.
Yeah, weird. You've had some spare time, huh?
And resolution in movies is very important to me. As just, like, a good film, like, good story and conflict and all that. But, like, when movies just kind of, like, throw things out and be like, all right, cool, this is the ending. It's, like, abruptly, like, for example, I just watched Can't Buy Me Love last night. An 80s romance. I don't know if it's a chick flick or not. I'm not sure.
That's a romance.
Okay. Yeah, like, high school romance.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Popular. Anyways. Sure. Pretty good film. I was enjoying it.
Okay.
And the ending is just, like, sorry, spoiler alert, but she just kind of, like, forgives him all of a sudden, and they ride on his lawnmower into the sunset and kiss.
Oh, man.
Which I was like, that's kind of cool, a lawnmower kiss. Like, you don't get that too often. So, yeah. And I was like, dang, I really wanted some, like, closure and like build up
right,
to that resolution. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's like really important for me with movies. And that's like kind of with Dune, it just kind of like, I was like, oh, are we done? Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, cool, like moving forward. So yeah, like that resolution, it can be hard to articulate and get that going. That was probably my yeah. biggest beef with the movie. It's just like,
well, and that's okay, the thing with storytelling is like you have to earn your big payoffs. So like what makes a movie really good is when the big reveal at the end is earned throughout the movie. Like The Sixth Sense, for example. No, oh, I won't do that one. Gosh. I won't spoil that movie, actually.
Yeah, don't.
I know it's been like 25 years, but I still feel bad because I didn't watch it till I was like 19.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm so glad no one ever spoiled it for me.
Right? That movie's incredible.
Yeah, so like, anyways, I won't spoil that movie. But I'm trying to think of another good example. Just like a movie that has a really good conclusion.
I love that movie so much. I was just like thinking about
we should, we could do an episode on that movie. But yeah, like with movies, when the ending is really good, it's not because they wrote that scene really well. I mean, that's usually a part of it, but it's because they built it up over the course of the film,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They'll tease it and tweak it and give you bits and pieces to lead you up to this ultimate conclusion, whatever that is. Whether it's a big twist like The Sixth Sense or just something really emotional like Interstellar where you get really emotional conclusion in the Tesseract, like the scene
you're
the
like tripping balls but you're also like crying.
Yeah, the scene in the Tesseract like kills me, but it's not necessarily just because that scene is written so well. I mean, it's basically just Matthew McConaughey screaming, mm-hmm. make him stay, Murph. You know, it's like fine, but like it's good because you've spent 2.5 hours like exploring.
It's like kind of good.
It is. Well,
like,
yeah.
Like kind of good, like Matthew McConaughey impression. Yeah.
Yeah, my brother and I make fun of that scene all the time. But it's amazing. It's super good. But it's only that good because.
He's in my bookshelf.
For 2.5 hours, you've been like shown this emotional and physical distance between like father and daughter.
Yeah.
And like you're watching both of their narratives go like years apart from each other, and like you feel that distance and you feel their love and frustration with each other. Anyway, so it's like, and it comes to a point. The thing with Dune is they do none of that. Like, and I think because the whole premise of the book is leading to a different conclusion, and David Lynch decided to put in his own conclusion. And so it's like, it's like this payoff that isn't earned because it was leading towards a completely different payoff altogether, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's sorry. Like if, I was thinking about Kanye.
Why am I surprised?
Kanye, like, loves sci-fi.
Oh, interesting.
And so I'm wondering if he got, like, the I Am a God from Dune.
Dune 1984? Huh, maybe. I mean, it's also just kind of a storytelling, like, the savior narrative is, like, a thing in storytelling. So
he
kind
of pulls reads the Bible and stuff. But I just, like, I know, like, sci-fi is, like, really important to him.
Okay, I had no idea.
So I'm, like, curious.
That is interesting.
I'll have to ask him when we go to dinner.
Yeah. But
it's what was like the one quote in the movie? He's like, I need, like, where are my feelings?
Oh, yeah, in the movie. Because, yeah, there's, as he, like, becomes more inculcated with this spice, which is, like, this drug of Dune, the thing of the book, at least, is that the spice, the Reverend Mothers.
The bald ladies.
Yeah, of which Paul is actually one of them. He's the first man to be born into them.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, hyper-aware of everything.
Gotcha.
They can, like, notice infinitesimally small details in people's behavior and allows them to, like, control people. Mm-hmm. And, like, so, like, the voice thing that they make really stupid in the movie. In the book, it's actually not just, like, complete control over somebody. It's, like, they can understand them so well that they can speak in a way that convinces them. And so only they can do it.
Hmm.
In the movie, they're just like, screw it. Everyone yells Muad'Dib, and then it kills everybody. Muad'Dib, Muad'Dib! Yeah, stupid.
Muad'Dib.
And so for him, Muad'Dib.
There's like lots of memeable moments.
Yeah, I wish it was more relevant. People would meme it more. But like for Paul, because he takes the spice, once he starts taking the spice, it enhances his abilities so much that eventually he starts not being able to see the future a little bit.
Hmm.
So that's kind of his thing, is because he can see the future a little bit, that's why they're like, oh my gosh, he's a god, we need to worship him, whatever, he's our messiah.
Yeah.
But in the movie, all like he touches ground on Dune, and then he looks up to stage left, and he's like, where are my feelings? And it's like, that's it. That's how David Lynch decided to show that entire psychological narrative of the book, where he becomes hyper aware. Where are my feelings? And then they move on. They don't even talk about it.
Yeah.
He's just like, where are my feelings?
Which makes it like way funny.
It's so stupid. Oh my gosh. It made me so mad because like the book is so interesting, and like there's so much psychological development, and I don't know, and the second book is also super interesting, because, spoiler, it's kind of like a Shakespearean tragedy,
okay,
where it's like Paul's downfall from the Messiah.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like, it's very good.
Yeah, I mean, like, watching the movie is like, but like, the more you tell me about it, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, the story from the book sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I like that a lot. It's really smart.
Highly recommend.
Sounds very compelling. But like, the movie is kind of like...
Yeah, and that's kind of what the popular understanding of that movie has been for 30 years, is that they've just been waiting for someone to do it well. Because Dune is such an iconic part of like science fiction history.
Yeah.
It's a huge like pillar in the science fiction community. Same with like a few other writers, Isaac Asimov and other writers. But
someone else was supposed to do it. They want someone else to do it.
Yeah.
I forgot his name, but I checked him out. He does like psychedelic. I watched like clips from some of them, and I was like, this is pretty trippy.
Alejandro Jodorowsky. He's like kind of a more avant-garde director. And yeah, they made a movie about how he almost made Dune because people were so excited for his take on it. Because they're like, this avant-garde psychedelic filmmaker is perfect fit for like this super innovative science fiction movie.
Yeah.
I think it got caught up in development hell and didn't end up getting made. And so I think that's why people are so hyped about this year's... what's the guy's name? Villeneuve?
Oh, Dennis.
Yeah. Dennis Villeneuve. He's making the... What was supposed to be last year, the 2021 version, comes out this October.
I like how his height is listed as 5'11 and 3/4".
That's how I tell people my height, too, when they're my doctor. Otherwise, 6 foot.
5'12".
I would die before I say 5'11". Don't tell anyone about this podcast. So, like, I have high hopes. It looks like it could be really good. He split the book into two movies, which might bode either really well or really poorly for how he's going to adapt it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be interested to see.
He should do a good job.
I hope so, yeah. And in worst case scenario, like, just the visuals of the trailer alone looked incredible.
Like, he made Arrival, I'm pretty sure.
He made a what?
Arrival. Have you seen that movie?
Uh-huh, yeah, he did. Yeah, so I looked that up.
And Blade Runner 2049, but... haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either. But Arrival is a similarly like visually compelling movie. Just kind of,
the movie's amazing.
For a whole movie that's set in like one scene, like setting, it's very visually interesting. Yeah, you know,
that's true.
The whole thing happens in like 1 square mile and like super interesting. So Dune 2021 should be really good. So what would you rank? So we got to do comparison because here in a few months we'll review the other Dune.
True.
What would you rank Dune 1984 out of 10? Give us a rating. This is the podcast. We give opinions.
I feel like it's kind of hard for me because I haven't read the book.
No, it doesn't matter. That's what I say. I want you just like, just holistically. Yeah. I don't want your review of it as an adaptation. Just what's your review of it as a movie to you?
Probably give it like, initially I want to say 3, but like maybe a 4. Personally, as someone who hasn't read the book.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I don't
care. So I'm just like trying to understand.
Yeah, I would probably honestly give it something similar. I'd probably give it a 3 or 4 because it has some elements that I think are good and fun. Yeah. But I think even as just like a normal movie, it's pretty disappointing. Like, if you're going to do a bad job of adapting the book, at least make it a decent movie on its own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they didn't even do that, so. Bleep lore. The same thought.
Thank you for listening to Opinions That No One Asked For, or Otnof. Otnof is hosted by me, Jordan Siddard, and McKay Menden, who also did the editing. Original music for this week was done by Tyson Siddard. If you've listened this far, I would literally die for you. Literally.
Try me. Jump in front of a train. See who's there in front of you.
Me.
Absorbing the train.
We'll see you next week.